Welcome to the first episode of Mobile Podcast, your exclusive insight into the major public interest issues affecting the mobile telecommunications industry. I'm your host, Peter Russell, and in this edition, we will speak with one of the most influential and respected scientists working in radio frequency safety, Dr. Michael Repiccioli of the University of Rome. Dr. Repiccioli is regarded by many as the leading authority on health and safety issues relating to mobile telecommunications. He has held several distinguished positions, including Director of the World Health Organization's Electromagnetic Fields Project and Chairman of the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, the body that sets international safety guidelines. Mobile Podcast is honored to have Dr. Repiccioli as its inaugural guest. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The most recent expert review of the science about mobile phones and health, which you chaired, was just published in Ireland. What's the latest scientific evidence saying?
Yes, this is the latest review of scientific studies, and it's reassuring that there are actually no studies that have confirmed any adverse health effect from exposure to the radio frequency fields from sources such as radio, television, or telecommunications. And the research has been investigating whether exposures to radio frequency fields below the levels of the international standards have any adverse effect. And so far, from all of the studies that were reviewed, none have indicated any adverse effect from exposures below the ICNIRP standards. In fact, they're looking quite safe because the standards have been in place for almost 10 years now, and no study has been able to establish that there is any adverse consequence of exposures below those standards.
The media often seem to report contradictory findings. One week mobile phones cause cancer, and the next week another study finds no cancer link. But your report claims that there are no known adverse health outcomes.
Yes, well, you remember that the media is out to sell its products and rarely reports negative studies. And it's important to realize that when scientific studies are reported, that they must be independently confirmed before they can be believed. This has been a rule of the World Health Organization for many years. And so, in the end, you have to look at all of these similar studies and go to a weight of evidence approach so that you can assess whether the weight of evidence is that there is a risk or there isn't a risk from all of the studies. And you also need to pick the high quality studies so that you can be assured that the results that they found were they thought they found. So you can't pick single studies. Single studies have to be confirmed, and then we look at the weight of evidence of all these studies. So while the media is always happy to report studies that are somewhat alarmist, people shouldn't be so worried. They should be looking at websites like WHO or national authorities to find out what the real situation is.
Recently, the media have reported concerning links between cancer and those who have used a mobile phone for more than 10 years. How should this be interpreted by the public? Is it good or bad science?
Well, most of the large epidemiological studies are quite good studies. And the reports that have come out recently indicating that there could be some association between using a mobile phone for more than 10 years and cancer are relatively good studies, but the problem is that they suffer from a lack of numbers of people who have actually used their mobile phone for 10 years. And so the study results for that part of the study tend to be unreliable. And what we need to do is await the results of the combined studies, where all of these smaller studies are combined into one large study to come out with a much more powerful, more precise study, and many more people will be in that exposed for more than 10 years group before we're going to get any reliable results.
The researchers said that further research on long-term users is needed before a firm conclusion can be drawn. Is there a risk for long-term mobile phone users that hasn't been fully looked at yet?
Yes, this is always a problem in science. While science may be able to predict that there's no adverse health outcome expected from long-term exposures, to be certain about this, you really need to conduct some studies that look over the longer term, and this is what the epidemiological studies are doing, and in particular the Interphone study, which is a very large WHO monitored study, before we can reach a firm conclusion.
Some governments have recommended people should take a cautionary approach and limit their mobile phone use. Do you think this is justified?
Well, as a general rule, being precautionary is good practice, and there are ways of using your mobile phone that will keep your exposures low. If people are worried about this and possible health effects, then they should, for example, use a hands-free kit. And governments should provide information on this to allow people to know how to reduce their exposures. But governments have to be careful, because the science is saying that the use of mobile phones and the levels that people are exposed to are safe from all the science that we have. And some governments generally get under a lot of pressure from citizens and politicians to indicate that they want to lower the international standards. And this really sends the wrong message to people. In fact, it raises concern when governments start to arbitrarily lower limits instead of staying with the science and the recommendations of WHO.
What about children? It makes sense to me that they have thinner skulls and developing brains, which means they are likely to be exposed more and are more likely to be damaged if some link is found down the track.
Yes, WHO in the EMF project was concerned about this issue and held a special workshop determine if children are more sensitive to EMF exposure than adults. And the results of that workshop, it was found that children as a developing organism seem to not be sensitive to EMF exposure after about the age of two. And in addition, the Ig Nob limits were sufficiently low that they also seem to be protective of children. However, the problem that the workshop found was that there has been little research which could be related to children's exposure. And I think the unexpectedly successful telecoms industry in having children at younger and younger ages using mobile phones has meant that the research hasn't been able to keep up with that area. So research on children's use of things like mobile phone is still something that we need more of.
What about the many people who claim to be especially sensitive to the electromagnetic radiation emitted by phones and base stations? Shouldn't standards protect everyone, not just the mainstream population?
Yes, people who claim to be hypersensitive to electromagnetic fields certainly have special problems, and some suffer quite severely from this, and it causes a change in lifestyle, and they suffer symptoms like skin rashes and sleeplessness and other subjective type complaints. But all of the studies that have been done on people who claim to be hypersensitive have found that it's not EMF that's the cause of their symptoms, it's something else. For example, in some of the laboratories, what you normally do is you have a person who's hypersensitive, and they'll sit down in a chair. And on the other side of a, say, a black velvet blanket, so they can't see any device, you can have an EMF emitter, and you can turn this on and off, and you can ask the person whether they're being exposed or not exposed. And over 30 studies have been done, and none has been able to show that the EMF was actually a cause of their symptoms. So so much so that the evidence was so conclusive that WHO recently published a fact sheet to indicate that EMF exposure was not a cause of these hypersensitivity reactions that people complain.
Michael, thank you very much for talking to us on this inaugural podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Mobile Podcast would like to thank Dr. Michael Repicioli for giving up his time to appear on the program. We would also like to thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed the first episode produced in April 2007. Mobile Podcast will be available for download regularly at www.mmfai.org/mobilepodcast or www.gsmworld.com/health. Mobile Podcast is made available for download by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. The information contained on this podcast is provided for general information purposes only and does not purport to offer legal, health, or any other professional advice. Where reference is made to a company or a specific commercial product or service, howsoever referred, no endorsement or recommendation is implied or intended. The views expressed are those of the speaker alone and do not necessarily represent those of the Mobile Manufacturers Forum or GSM Association. All guests have volunteered their time to help promote an open discussion of the issues addressed.